This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The best part about the NFL is competition.
Mahomes back, throws, it is picked off by the Lions.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Lions will take over on downs, no flags.
It's unusual for us to drop that many passes.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Bills quarterback, Josh Allen. Prime Video TNF analyst, Richard Sherman. Falcons head coach, Arthur Smith. Three-time Super Bowl champion, Julian Edelman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on the first Football Friday of the 2023 National Football League season calendar. We're thrilled that you're with us. Boy, do we have a great four-wide guest list. We have none other than Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills getting set to zoom into this program in just 15 minutes' time. We already saw the kickoff of the season between the Lions and the Chiefs, and week one ends with the Bills visiting the Jets as the Jets unwrap Aaron Rodgers for the very first time in a game that counts in the standings. Richard Sherman, future Hall of Famer, kicking off hour number two. Arthur Smith and his mustache will appear on your Zoom screen in hour number two. And then in studio, in hour number three, not one, not two, but three-time Super Bowl champion Julian Edelman will be here, which means I am the second most handsome Jewish man to be sitting in our makeup chair today on the Rich Eisen Show set. I said makeup chair, Jay. You didn't get makeup today,
right.
Did you, Jay Felly?
I did not.
You're okay,
right.
Good to
wow.
see you. How are you, Chris Brockman? Good to see you over there.
My wallet's lighter after last night, Rich.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. How are you over there, TJ Jefferson? How are you, sir?
It's time. That's all I can say, Rich. It's time.
All right, very good. The Dallas Cowboys are playing Sunday night. For anybody who didn't see what he was doing up on the screen on the Roku channel, for those listening where you are, Terrestrial, Sirius XM, and Odyssey, we welcome you. We welcome everybody listening on a podcast later on, whenever you darn well please. That is your God-given right in the United States and wherever you can get a podcast to listen to us whenever you want. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I'm going to start this way. I know everybody's freaking out about the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs losing last night in their banner-raising night, but I'm going the opposite way. I'm going to go, how about those Detroit Lions? How about the Detroit Lions showing up last night in a spot that when most everyone learned they would be playing in that spot, thought, what is the National Football League thinking? What are the schedule makers thinking when they had an opportunity to put Buffalo in Kansas City, Cincinnati in Kansas City? The Eagles are on the Chiefs' home schedule for Kansas City. We could have had that piece of filet mignon right off the bat, a Super Bowl rematch in night number one. Instead, let's send the Detroit Lions there. Essentially sending Detroit to the figurative Lions in Kansas City. Raising a banner, Patrick Mahomes doing his thing, which he did do last night, albeit without Travis Kelce. And what did the Lions do last night? They showed up. They went 3-and-out to start the game. They held defensively, got the ball back, and then went 3-and-out again, except they didn't go out. They went out on fourth down. Dan Campbell called for a fake punt from his own 17-yard line in the second drive of the season.
Let's go.
Biting kneecaps off right off the bat is what Dan Campbell was doing. And the Lions followed suit after getting that first down on that fake punt. 10 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. And then absorbed Mahomes doing Mahomes things. Like, say, staring down a 3rd-and-17 from his own 30-something yard line right before a halftime of a tie game. And then just when you thought the Lions would get the ball back right before a halftime to take a lead, which they had to do because the Chiefs get the ball first in the second half, Mahomes, 3 plays later from 3rd-and-17 in the middle of his own territory, touchdown. And then the Lions held in the second half and got a pick six. Not Mahomes' fault. By the way, the first season-opening interception Mahomes has thrown in his life. His life. And we'll get to that in a moment. And it was a pick six. Yeah. The Lions did what they needed to do and had to do, and even with the lead and 2 minutes to go, getting the ball back after holding Mahomes when you all thought the Lions were giving the ball to Kansas City despite having the lead in the fourth quarter, you knew Mahomes was going to be making that call from within the house for another house call, and the Lions held defensively, forced a punt, got the ball back, and went for it on fourth down instead of trying to pin Mahomes and giving the ball back. They went for it, saying, we're not going to give the ball back to Mahomes. Didn't quite like their play call at all. And then even though they got the ball and didn't convert on fourth down and went for it, they held Mahomes down and once again showed the grit and determination that they needed to show. And what the Lions have done in the last two games is they ended Aaron Rodgers' Packers career by sending him packing from Lambeau Field and out of the playoffs in a game that they already knew didn't matter for their playoff hopes. They were already out. They showed up in a so-called meaningless game and played meaningful football, having Rodgers put his arm around Randall Cobb and essentially say to him, let's go to the Jets. And then open up the season getting that assignment and staring right at the Chiefs and Chiefs Kingdom and saying, we're going to ruin your banner-raising night in back-to-back games. That's what the Lions have done. And they're coming. They're coming. They've now won 9 of their last 11 games dating back to last season and handed Patrick Mahomes the first loss in a season opener of his life. Prior to last night, 5-0 as a Chiefs starter on opening night, 2-0 as a Texas Tech starter on opening day, and 2-0 as the quarterback of the White House High School team in White House, Texas. That was his first ever season opening loss last night, and what did Dan Campbell have to say? Did he go ahead and say, I told you so? No, this is what he had to say. Roll
it. I didn't learn anything. I got verification on what I already knew. And this is a resilient team. It already was a resilient team, and we added pieces to that resilient team. So we're built to handle some stuff, and we did that today against a very good opponent. I think there again, we expected to win this game. You know, we came in here and we knew what we needed to do, and we knew it wasn't going to be easy, and we did that. And really, what it means is that's one.
That's one. That's it. Amon-Ra St. Brown looked pretty darn good. How about Jared Goff hasn't thrown an interception in 360-plus attempts? That's the third longest such streak in the history of the National Football League. He threw a dime on third and long as well last night in a crucial spot. David Montgomery running over people. Jahmyr Gibbs made some nice plays.
60 total yards.
And Aiden Hutchinson was held down because the Chiefs were jumping snaps and not lining up properly and allowed to do so.
Shout out Terry McCauley for actually calling that out during the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
They ran that in the third quarter. They're like, hey, look, he is not lining up properly.
Yeah.
His head is not even with the backside of the center.
This is illegal.
And he's jumping before the snap.
Illegal.
Finally, they called him for it.
And I'll just say this as well. I know my buddy Mike Tirico said that the win had an asterisk on it because Chris Jones had held out despite still showing up to the game as an attendee. And Travis Kelce was hurt 100%. But in the National Football League, you can only control what you can control. And the opposite for the Detroit Lions in the past would be to lose a game where they show up and they're playing good football about 90% of the time without making mistakes themselves, like a red zone turnover, a handful of penalties that crushed them. Normally, the Lions would lose a game like this instead of coming out with the win like they did. And they cannot do anything but play the guys in front of them. And might they, by the end of the year, look back and say, we were lucky that Chris Jones was holding out and Travis Kelce had some sort of what appears to be freak accident 2 days before the game? Sure. Sure. But they had to play the game last night, and they got it done. So I don't believe there's an asterisk on it at all. They took care of business in a very tight spot. And most of the people, when we heard they were going to show up in Kansas City on opening night for that assignment, thought they were going to get the doors blown off them. And if anybody's out there sitting there saying, well, Chris Jones wasn't there. Wouldn't have happened if Chris Jones was there. Wouldn't have happened if Travis Kelce was there. Doesn't matter. You play the games when you're supposed to play them. And if you're supposed to win those games because those guys aren't there and you do win them, I'm not going to give you less credit. Looking in the standings today, it says 1-0. It doesn't say 3/4 and 0 or 0.5 and 0 with an asterisk next to it. It's 1-0 Detroit and 0-1 Kansas City. And we'll talk about why Kansas City, what they should think moving forward after we speak with Josh Allen, who's about to sit down in Western New York for us. Nice. Richard Sherman, hour two. Arthur Smith and his stash, hour two. Julian Edelman in studio, hour three. What's more likely? Your phone calls throughout, 844-204-RICH. Week one is underway, and it will end on Monday night with this man on center stage on the worldwide leader in sports, Josh Allen, when we come back. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Josh Allen's about to join us in about a minute's time. We should have a countdown clock. That's how important a person he is in the National Football League, the Buffalo Bills. Oh, my gosh. Our coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, back in our back, I guess, area.
We have a control room.
What do we do? All right, Hoskins, I don't know. How are you able to control yourself as a diehard Buffalo Bill fan while I'm about to interview a man who's so important in your life?
He said very difficult, quote.
He's got a huge smile on his face. Smile, yeah. I mean, how can you show, like, camera-wise, how excited he is?
I think he's eating wings in the back.
Did he tick Brockman? That's the way you're showing. That's how they're taking everybody. Look at everybody.
I'm his mouthpiece.
He cannot control his fingers.
And you guys know, like, Josh Allen, when we first did, when we did draft coverage from Dallas.
Yes.
Josh Allen gave me, when you first brought me onto the show, he gave me my first interview.
Is that right?
As, you know, all the, remember if we were in AT&T Stadium, all the rookies were doing some type of
home of your Cowboys
seminar, and you told me, go see what you can get. And walking, Josh Allen and Derwin James were the first two guys who stopped, and like, I said, hey, I'm with Rich Eisen's show. And they're like, oh, okay, it was the night.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah.
Did he say that? Very important. How did he say it? You know, how did he? I have a fragile ego. Be very careful.
I will post the video on our Instagram during this interview.
Okay. And so a young Josh Allen, fresh out of college.
The night before the draft. The night before.
He's like, Rich Eisen show. Or is he just like, oh, really? Rich Eisen show?
I'm pretty sure. Wait, well, people sometimes have a tendency to be happy to see me. So I think he was a little like,
Everybody is happy to see you, TJ. You put smiles on faces.
So that's why I have Josh Allen, man. Even if he doesn't play for my team, he's always going to be one of my favorite players.
I mean, Ashton's not BFFs with everybody.
I mean, that's a good point, too. You know, and me, you say the same for me.
That's true. Absolutely. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Monday Night Football, I'll be at the microphone for the pregame and halftime of Westwood One's coverage of the finale of week number one, the highly anticipated game between the Bills and the Jets, and the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, the perennial Pro Bowler, all-pro quarterback entering his sixth year in the National Football League, Josh Allen, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Josh Allen?
I'm doing good, Rich. How you doing?
When I was checking you in during commercial break, I promised you about my great-looking shirt. Now that you're seeing it, what do you think, Josh? Let's get into it. What do you think?
I love it. It's Buffalo Blue.
It is great. Like that. Yeah, it is. It kind of does.
Matches his hat.
Match. That was just purely unintentional. Purely unintentional. But if it makes you feel comfortable for this conversation, I'm happy to provide that. What's going through your mind before this big weekend here? Big week for you, Josh.
You know, we're just trying to lock in these last minute details. I had a quick little walkthrough today. Obviously, Monday night and week one, you get an extra day. Everybody plays before you. So you kind of see some things early on in the season. It's some fundamental things, tackling, blocking, catching that, you know, we got to do well. Week one, two, three, and four, I think the first 4 weeks, guys are just trying to get back into that rhythm. So we got to be dialed in for that.
Okay. And so when you first saw what your week one game was going to be, your thought was what?
Well, an in-division game that they've played us pretty well the last couple of years. We got to find a way to beat these guys. And I think, you know, adding Aaron Rodgers, a first ballot Hall of Famer, it's always tough to go against those type of guys. But we're gonna be as prepared as we can be and be ready to go Monday night.
I'm assuming you have taken on Green Bay, right? At least once in your career that's happened before?
Yeah, we played them last year.
And
again, Aaron's one of those guys that I grew up watching and wanting to emulate on the football field. And I got so much admiration and respect for not just his game, but him as a person and how he's handled himself over the last whatever years he's played in the league. He's an old guy now, so it's cool. But we have a pretty good friendship, and get to call him and text with him sometimes and play golf with him a few times. So
we're
pretty friendly.
Yes,
yeah.
You have, Josh. You have. Very competitively you've played golf before, if I'm not mistaken. Josh, right?
Just a little bit.
Okay. So, but growing up, as you said, and again, you know, OG, not old guy, is what you kind of meant for him, right? You just want to make sure.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. OG. You can use that acronym however you'd like.
Okay. Very good. And so what were you always looking at Rodgers, and how has, you know, informed your game in a way growing up?
Well, you know, you see his arm. His release, it's very quick. He kind of incorporates a little foot pop into his mechanics, which I've tried to do after watching him. Throwing off platform, I think he's one of the greatest throwers, if not the greatest thrower of the football to ever play the game. So you could take a lot from him. I still watch him and trying to steal some things from him. So he's pretty dang good.
He is indeed, and so are you. Josh Allen, at Josh Allen QB. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show prior to Monday Night Football. All right, Josh, I'd like to throw some media narratives your way and get your reaction to them, not just because it's a way to just, in the few minutes I have with you, hit everything that people are talking about the Buffalo Bills or have been, but it also, be honest, it kind of validates of media types to when we talk, you know, to see if it's true or not, if you don't mind, Josh Allen.
Okay.
First, red zone last year, you put too much on your shoulders, and that was something that was rectified with some of the roster moves and draft moves this past few months, Josh Allen.
I say true.
Okay.
I think last year, trying to do too much, maybe holding on to the ball a little too long. I think this year, I really like our plan going in the red zone this year in terms of concepts that we've got in and the players that are running these concepts. So it's definitely a point of emphasis that we need to get better at, and I need to get better at, and we're looking forward to seeing how much better we've been.
What was the form in which doing too much took place in your mind last year, Josh?
Well, again, down there, you always want to walk away with points. You'd rather have six than three, but understand that sometimes it's okay to throw the ball away. It's okay to take a sack down there and not put the ball in harm's way. I think I did too much of that last year, just, you know, throwing a couple interceptions in the end zone, which is never fun to do. It takes away points from your team, and it really hurts what you can do.
And how has Dalton Kincaid fit in so far? He was a touchdown. He's a red zone touchdown machine in college. And this is not a fantasy question. It is not. It is truly a reality question, as we've established. How do you think he is fitting in and going to fit in over the next few weeks?
Well, he's a rookie. Let's cap it there, right? Okay. He's going to have some growing pains, and just making sure that we're talking, communicating. I don't want to give him this huge pedestal yet, but he's going to be pretty dang good for us. And the way that he moves, he's very fluid. He's got a knack to catch the ball and get upfield. So however that plays out is going to play out. And I guess we'll find out in the first couple of weeks of how we're really going to utilize him. But he's a smart kid. He finds windows and zones. And I think he's a massive nightmare for smaller DBs and bigger linebackers.
Another media narrative for you, Josh Allen, is last year, everything that happened off the field, the tragedy that happened at the outset of the season in Western New York with gun violence, and then the snowstorm, and then obviously what happened with Damar Hamlin, took a ton out of your team that came home to roost in the playoffs. No excuses, but this is the reality, and I'm wondering if that is the case in your mind, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying to say that it didn't take a lot out of us. Now, do I think it took too much where we couldn't go out and execute, you know, against the Bengals at home? No, I don't. And I think going back and watching that game and just some of the dumb decisions that I made and understanding that we weren't ready to go, and that's largely on my part and the captains here of not making sure that throughout that week of practice, we were completely dialed in. And I think that's something that we've addressed as a captain squad. And we're looking forward to how some of the things that we've talked about come to fruition this year. And we're looking forward to getting back on the field and trying to walk that taste out of our mouth.
What can you share about that captain's conversation, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, I think just doing more, going the extra effort. That's in the film room. That's in the weight room. That's and walk through that's on the field straining that much more and trying to elevate everybody in this building to be the best that they can be.
And final narrative for you, Josh Allen. Stephon Diggs and you needed to have a hug out this past summer after a spring in which you guys didn't really communicate with each other. What do you say there, Josh?
We hugged it out.
You hugged it out. You did hug it out. You did it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You hugged it out, and this thing is too bad. Whatever the thing was. Was there a thing, Josh?
There wasn't. But it's whatever it was, whatever the media made it, it's way back there.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm part of that media, and I felt, you know, when the coach said there was he was concerned when he actually said that into a microphone during the June OTAs, that's what raised my level of concern. By discussing it here, Josh, just so you were aware.
But keyword June OTAs.
That's the key word. So Diggs, you and Diggs, we're same page, reading from the same book. Everything's cool, is what you're saying.
We're reading the same word right now.
Okay. Wow. That's definitely on the same page. I like it. Same letter? Same letter? Let's just get it right.
Same letter. Okay. We're pronouncing it at the same exact time.
What is the word you're reading then? What's the word you're reading together?
Win. We're trying to win. And that's our main goal, is to win football games. And it starts Monday night against the Jets, and they're going to be fired up. It's Monday night to start the season on 9/11 in New Jersey. Like, we understand that it's a big game, but we're just trying to take it one game at a time, making sure that we're staying here, but staying kind of in the middle, trying to go out there and execute the best that we can.
I noticed you said New Jersey. That's a very Western New York point to make there, Josh, when you called it New Jersey. You know, that's a very Buffalo Bill thing to say. We're going to New Jersey. You're not going to New York, right? You're going to New Jersey. Right, Josh? Right?
Right.
You've learned. Look at you, man. 6 years in. That's the language. You're talking the language of the Bills fan right there, brother. That is for sure.
Good.
How is Damar Hamlin? How is he doing, Josh?
He's doing great. I mean, every time we see him in this locker room, I know that I do. What an inspiration he is to our team, our staff here, Western New York, and really the country for that matter. And I think just having his presence here, I mean, you've gotten to see him grow as a man too and do some really cool things for community here in Pittsburgh and communities around the country that are implementing CPR and AEDs into their facilities. I think that the benefits of that situation, obviously barring how tragic it was and how so much good came out of it, I think the long-lasting benefits are going to be fantastic for this country.
Yeah, I saw his press conference during the summer, Josh, and I'll be honest with you. I totally get that he wants to turn the page and not talk about that night. However, he is so open about facing fears in front of the whole world. I love that message. I wonder how that resonates with you, your teammates, the locker room writ large, Josh.
Yeah, and again, we know what he went through. Obviously, as teammates, the things that we felt and things that we saw and we heard that night, we can only imagine what he felt and what he's still feeling from that. And, you know, to go back out there, helmet back on and be ready to go and hit somebody as hard as you can and do your 111th, you know, on a defense. Like that's gotta be tough. We understand that. So obviously we're there for him, whatever he needs, we're going to do. But he's excited to get back on the football field and play with his brothers.
Okay. Before I let you go, sir. And I just want to talk about last night. Did you watch the Thursday night kickoff, Josh?
I did. Okay. I did.
What's your impression? If you don't mind me turning you into the paparazzi here, like you're a member of the media. But what's the Josh Allen opinion of what we saw between the Lions and the Chiefs last night, if you don't mind?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think fundamentals, you talk about tackling, blocking, catching. I think that's something that just kind of goes and shows in the first couple weeks of what teams are prepared, maybe better than others. And I think the Lions did a good job of capitalizing on a couple of those mistakes, and they were able to hold on to the football and run the clock out. And but anytime Pat Mahomes had a chance to win the game, you know, you got to be on the edge of your seat. I've been there a few times, you know, on the wrong end of it, and I've been there a couple times on the right end of it. But he's such a special player and a special talent that, you know, he's down his best receiver in Travis Kelce, and obviously they were missing Chris Jones there in the middle, but still giving his team a chance to win at the end.
Well, again, you've also been there in terms of, you know, making spectacular plays of your own. I'm wondering what it's like for Josh Allen to watch Patrick Mahomes do that sort of stuff. What goes through your mind as you're sitting on the couch? I mean, I it's definitely a different way than me watching it, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I still watch it as a fan. Like, I still watch it and I try to put myself in those situations and understand, like, hey, we got a 2-minute drill here, like what would I be doing in this situation, and just trying to still mental reps from the game. But then as a fan, just like loving football and loving how it's coming down on Thursday night, defending Super Bowl champs, or playing a hungry team, the Detroit Lions, with a head coach that's got the respect of his locker room, and they went out there, they played hard, and they won the football game.
And then of course you are also been in the shoes of being the road team to quiet the crowd when they've raised a banner. You did that last year. How do you think that's going to, if one last paparazzi type question, help the Lions, Josh? What do you think here?
You talked about confidence. I think that helps. But at the same time, it's one game and there's 16 others that they got to play. You know, we got to take it one game at a time, and that's our goal over here.
Okay. All right, last one for you. Bills fans are excited. Again, you're a major reason why Bills fans are excited again. When you're in that tunnel coming out for Monday Night Football, what do you think it's going to feel like for you, knowing that the season's in front of you and another high-expectation season is afoot, Josh?
Yeah, a lot of emotions, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, a lot of juice. Expecting to hear quite a bit of boos from their crowd. You know, again, it's Monday night, 9/11. I know that itself is a big game, and going against a team that their pro Hall of Fame quarterback, it's the first time he's taking snaps for them. So that crowd's going to be juiced up. It's going to be our job to try to quiet them and go out there and execute and try to win a football game.
And your message for Bills fans going into this season is what, Josh Allen?
Go Bills.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me?
Anything? Is TJ in there?
He is. TJ's right there. Go for it.
I think night before draft,
yes,
I had an interview with him. I think I gave him like his first interview on your show.
Okay.
Very true, Josh Allen. Very true, brother. How you doing, man?
Is that right?
That is right. You did. It was we were leaving AT&T Stadium. I caught you. I asked, could I talk to you? You were like, sure. We took a little short walk to the bus.
Well, it's the most important part of this story, TJ. Yeah, what is that?
I said, I'm from the Rich Eisen show. Can I talk to you?
I was like, of course. For sure. Like, as soon as he said Rich Eisen, I was like, I'm in. I said, is that the guy running the 40-yard dash? Yes, he's coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we had that quick talk, and I got back up, and I was like, man, I don't care who this guy gets drafted mm-hmm. by, mm-hmm. even if it's the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to cheer for this dude for the
Love
rest
it.
Of his career.
And I used running the 40-yard dash loosely.
Okay. Yes. You could do the air quotes. You're on camera right now. You could do it running loosely. I totally get that. And I greatly appreciate you responding positively upon hearing my name before you were a professional, Josh. I don't take that
Always
for granted.
Will.
I don't take that for granted whatsoever. Thanks for the time, brother. You be
Thank
well.
You.
Enjoy Monday night and the rest of the season. Look for more of my calls. You be well.
Will do. Sounds good. Thank you.
The one and only Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills right here on the Rich Eisen Show prior to Monday night. He confirmed it.
See? Well, there's also video to confirm it, but I'm glad he remembered.
I don't know why he's being so nice to you guys. I'm the one that picked the Bills to make the Super Bowl.
Well, no, I picked the Bills to make the Super Bowl, but lose to the Cowboys. So
you both did.
Yeah.
Come on.
They're so set up, man.
I wouldn't even care if they won the Super Bowl. I like Josh Allen.
They're reading from the same word. The word is win.
Winning. Great. Love it.
Win. That's very Rocky. That's very Philadelphia. Yeah. Win.
Win.
I mean, look, he's
very Adrian from the hospital bed.
You know how strong
he
is.
He also said there was something going on.
Yeah.
Which we all saw with our two eyes.
Yeah. But they hugged it out.
Hey, brothers fight, man. We know. You and Del Tufo, they me and Del Tufo, out. Me and you, we get into it every now and then. But at the end,
Del Tufo's not here, right?
He's not.
He's the worst.
You could stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone all season long. Listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports on your or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. What a way to set up Matt and Enid, Oklahoma.
Oh, baby.
He has been listening to us talk about the Bills for weeks. He heard some jamoke who wasn't even a Bills fan call and play the win-loss game at 9-8. I saw your angry tweet, Matt. I saw it.
I've just been sitting back listening to you spout all this rainbows about your Jets. You don't get a reality check on Monday night.
Oh, all right.
But I got Josh Allen. They need to put up or shut up. I'm so tired of hearing about Aaron Rodgers. God, just shut up.
Give him the music.
Come on, Matt.
Here we go, Matt. It's time for you to put up.
Let's go.
I'm going to put up.
Here we go. Home for the at the New York Jets. I know what that is. What is that?
That's a win with exclamation points.
It still just counts as one.
I don't care.
Home for the Raiders.
Win.
At the Commanders.
Win.
Home for the Dolphins.
Win.
In London against the Jaguars, who already have been in London for a week.
We're going to step on her a little bit there and lose that one.
Okay.
Oh, he's a step on
I don't know.
Step on what, exactly?
I think what he's saying is they're going to take the tube to the game.
Hey now.
Oh, home for the Giants and Brian Daboll coming home.
That's a win.
Uh-huh. 5-1 at the Patriots.
That's a win.
6-1 home against the Bucks on a Thursday night.
That's a win.
7-1 at the Bengals.
We got a little something for the Bengals. That's a win.
8-1 home for the Broncos on a Monday night.
That's a win.
9-1 home for the Jets.
That's a win.
10-1 at the Eagles.
That's a loss.
Oh, you gave him all right. 10-2 out of the bye at the Chiefs.
Well, we always beat Kansas City in the regular season, so that's a win.
11-2 home for the Cowboys.
Oh, that's a win.
12-2 at the Chargers on a Saturday night.
We might lose that one.
Well, it's either a win or a loss.
A loss.
12-3 home for the Patriots.
Now that's a joke win.
13-3 at the Dolphins.
Disrespect is real.
That was going to be a win. He's got something for them too.
14-3 Jeez. Buffalo Bills. Hey, that's a one seed. It's certainly having beaten both the Chiefs and the Bengals.
Yeah, that's a one seed.
I got one more thing to say, Rich.
Yes.
My brother's a lifelong Detroit Lions fan. As long as I've been a Bills fan, and Jeff from Detroit, they've been miserable for a lot of years. So they need to enjoy this and quit listening to all the whiny Chiefs fans with their excuses and their Travis Kelce excuses. That guy, half the time, outside in the backfield, just tell the Chiefs fans to suck it and enjoy it, Lions fans.
There you go, Matt in Oklahoma, everybody. Speaking of Jeff in Detroit, you knew he'd be here, and we got to get him on the Rich Eisen Show a day after that way
Jeffrey.
The week one has opened up. Jeffrey, you have the floor, sir. What's on your mind?
Oh, man, this is so weird, man. It really is. First of all, I like to thank you guys. I like to thank everybody that's rooting for the Detroit Lions because they're easy to root for. We gave the nation a great game to start off the NFL season. And people are talking about the asterisk, no Kelce. Number 74 was in the backfield all night, man, messing up. And I couldn't understand that. They did not throw penalty flags. But let's get to the good, man. Let's get to the good. Jared Goff, like you said, 360, no INTs. You got a running game that is wonderful. And I have to tell you, I was worried. And what did you tell me? Jeff, just calm down. Everything will be all right. And it's looking all right, huh? It's looking all right.
Yes, sir. I told you. And, of course, you know, there'll be ups and downs, and there'll be some more downs to come. But I think there's going to be more ups and downs, and we saw it last night. I kind of dug what I saw. That's a tough nails road W, Jeff.
And we know, you know, usually this is the type of game that the Lions would have lost in the past, but that defense stuck in there, got Patrick Mahomes off the field. They got a defensive stop when they had to, exactly like you said that they needed to. Wonderful, man. Wonderful.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm feeling weird because I'm feeling good, baby. It's on and popping.
Absolutely. It's on and popping.
That's what's up.
That's what's up.
Can I push back a little bit on it being a great game? I think the result was great, obviously, for Detroit fans. The Lions kind of announced their presence with authority that they're real.
Authority.
But it was very, very sloppy. Not particularly highly skilled played.
Yeah, no, that's
you know, too many drops.
A lot of guys who didn't play in the preseason. And
it was nice to have football back, but in terms of being that, like,
it's always
spectacular,
like that,
super great game I think we were all hoping for, it just kind of
fell
flat.
That's why last year's game was a total blowout. And the Bills looked great, and that was when everybody was choosing them to win the Super Bowl, not just go. That's a rarity. It's just that simple as a rarity, and week one is always full of choppy play. But there's going to be one or two really good games, and later on in the program, I've got a top five most intriguing week one matchups,
Ooh.
And it's not the night games. Not the night games. Not your game, not my game.
Not the varsity game is what you're saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. We have the JV because the Monday night's varsity.
Well, no.
Shut up.
Thank you very much.
Sunday.
All right. You know. Let's take a break, and I will hit my opinion on the Chiefs. I'm going to zag when everybody's zigging.
Oh, yeah.
Or zigging when everybody's zagging. I don't know which is which. It's either the bus or drive myself. I don't know which is good or bad.
Well, either way, you're going to get there.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. What is the furthest you've ever thrown a football? Josh.
The furthest was in Wyoming, so I did get a little assistance from the elevation.
Yes.
But it was right around 83 yards.
Right around, right around 83.
Yeah.
Are we rounding up or are we rounding down to the 83, Josh?
We were probably rounding up just a little bit, but 83 was that was the number.
So, I don't know. I'm not looking up to see if you're playing in Denver at all, so you can get a little bit of some altitude. Can you do that in an NFL game, you think?
I mean, there was one game, I think it was my rookie year against the Dolphins. I threw a ball dang near as hard as I can, and my receiver was 60, 70 yards downfield, and I overthrew him just by a little bit.
you airmailed him.
I did, and that was just one of those, like, I didn't feel like I threw it as hard as I could, but my hip fired so hot, and it just came out of my hand extremely well, and it was spinning, and it was a little warm in Miami, so it might have flown a little farther, but it was just one of those that just kind of even blew me off guard. So something I've toned down a little bit, though, and I feel like I've got a little more control on my ball right now.
Oh, understood. No, accuracy is something that you definitely have improved on, as we have seen. So let's just walk me through this. At some point during a game in your career, let's just say it could even happen this weekend against New England, where you have to throw a Hail Mary to win it. At what yardage do you say to your coach, I still got this? Give it to me. Your own what?
We're like, I know I can get the ball in the air and get it probably a good 4 or 5 yards deep in the end zone, probably around the 35.
Your own 35?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, you're probably going to have to avoid a rush a little bit, even if they're coming at you with three man. You're going to have to roll out a little bit. So right around your own 30-something yard line, you can get it in there. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Unbelievable. Proof that we've had delightful conversations with Josh Allen for years, including the one that we just had right here on our program. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, let's just say this. Headline, Kansas City. I am unconcerned.
I think you're the only one.
I know I am. I am unconcerned in the same way that I said it is not an asterisk for the Lions to have won a game against the Chiefs in Kansas City because there was no Chris Jones, there was no Travis Kelce. I will say, throw this one out because there was no Chris Jones or Travis Kelce for the Chiefs. What I did see from the Chiefs last night that I liked, Mahomes doing Mahomes-like things. And I also saw a defense that balled out. That defense was making plays, coming up with a red zone turnover, getting in Goff's face when they needed to. You know, special teams look good. I mean, if I'm Andy Reid, I'm like, they're not going to just drop passes all over the place. There's obviously one concerning aspect of it. We all saw it. Is that if there's no Kelce, well, the run game's not going to get him through. Despite how terrific that offensive line is, they're still showing up and getting away with penalties, trying to block Aiden Hutchinson. But I don't know who scares you outside of Kelce catching a pass. The young kids or the no-names, as Andy Reid essentially referred to them when I brought up in the interview with Andy Reid earlier this week about who's going to catch the pass, who's going to catch passes from Mahomes at the receiver position, they're going to have to step up. And there's several more games in which to step up, 16 of them. The Chiefs will walk on the field as the better team more often than not this season, maybe even 2/3 of the time this season. And Kelce's clearly got to be healthy, which he's not right now. And I know, you know, it doesn't help to have Kadarius Toney show up like Kadarius Scissorhands. Four drops. Kid didn't play in the preseason. He's hurt. He was hurt, and he came back. Apparently, he was good to go. Clearly, he was not good to go. That's concerning. Who's going to be circled from the receiver position? That would be the challenge. Nobody. I would make if I'm Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, all of them. Walk in the receiver room and go, hey, who's going to step up with Juju in New England and Tyreek in Miami? Last year they got through it, didn't they? This year, week one, it didn't look good at all, and Kelce wasn't there. So I will just say that. If I'm Chris Jones, I'm wondering how the defense looked without him.
I mean,
I thought they played well.
The Lions had 120 yards rushing.
I know, but I still thought they played well. I know. There were some big gashes.
No pressure on Goff last night.
That's not true at all. Karlaftis jumped in and damn near caught a pass out of the air, pick six, before the first half. They put pressure on him.
One sack in the game.
The Lions' offensive line is really good, pal. You know, of course they need Chris Jones. But I thought the defense acquitted themselves very well, and just in without Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Mahomes had this to say when it was brought up about all the drops last night.
I have trust in KT. He missed a lot of training camp. Obviously, he wanted to play and thought rehab hard so he could play. And stuff's not always going to go your way. Obviously, he would have wanted to catch a few of those in the game, but I have trust that he's going to be that guy that I go to in those crucial moments, and he's going to make the catch and win us some seasons like he did last year. So we're going to continue to work him in, get him more and more reps, and I'm sure that those drops will kind of disappear.
I mean, you could put that in the category of what else is he going to say, you know? But I'll just say it's just one game. Let's get Kelce back. Chris Jones got to come in and not be the fact that he showed up last night? He was a spectator.
I think they knew that, right?
Yeah, they know. The Chiefs were cool with it and like, okay, come on in. Because they know at some point they're going to be a family again.
Until they're not.
I don't know.
I think the Chiefs need to think about trading for Mike Evans right now.
That's not happening.
Mike Evans is in a contract dispute with Tampa. I mean, he's out there for the taking
September
right now.
September 9th is the last day and guess what today is? The day before. Tomorrow is the last day. And even if he doesn't have a contract, then the Bucs are going to use him. What are they going to just... Bucs aren't just going to flip Mike Evans to the Kansas City Chiefs right now. They're going to go through the season.
You think... Okay.
That's it. That's the business of it. What do you think?
You think the sky is as blue as your shirt.
No, I don't.
It's very pretty.
I think it's a long season. Seasons are long.
But I also think you can glean stuff from week one that will carry throughout the year.
Okay. And that is what?
I think they need to make some changes. You can't go the rest of this year with this wide receiver group as bad as they looked last night. You can't have Patrick Mahomes running for his life. What do you have, 50 rushing yards?
I saw Rasheed Rice make some nice plays, and Justin Watson. These are guys who aren't going to scare you. Tony's just got to make these plays. And Sky Moore disappeared.
He didn't get a target until 4 minutes to go in the game.
Disappeared. So it's just It's just 1 week for the Chiefs, and I'll go. I like what the Lions have done because they won 8 of their last 10 and they've had some stones wins, like saying goodbye to Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay in Lambeau Field in a game that it didn't mean anything to them for the playoffs, and then showing up in Kansas City like they did last night.
I don't want to overreact on a Friday, but I kind of agree with you, Chris, in the sense that if there's no one there to scare the defense, if there's no one there that they got to circle and make sure that person's accounted for, it's going to make Mahomes' job a lot.
Mahomes was running for his life last night. Their offensive line did not do a good job, in my opinion.
Which makes you wonder, why the D-Hop thing? Why wouldn't he want to go to Kansas City to play with that?
They didn't show him the money.
I thought Mahomes had, I don't know. I guess we watched the different games. I mean, running for his life. He had all kinds of time last night on occasion. I mean, guys are going to get rushed and run around. Again, my thought is if they don't have Kelce, and the receivers aren't scaring anybody, and they're dropping passes, then, let's get Pacheco more than 8 carries. I know he got dinged up, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, let's go. That offensive line up front, you got Creed Humphrey, you got some really good guys. That's a great offensive line. Go impose your will. But they don't have the will imposition there. They have Mahomes, and sometimes when it just doesn't work, certainly if you drop all those passes, my goodness gracious. Tony just looked...
Shouldn't have been out there.
Well, I mean, the pick six went off his hands. I mean, Mahomes threw a perfect pass.
Now Mahomes knows how Dak felt all last year. Ball's just coming off the receiver's hand. Wait, hey, it's the same thing, right?
That's true.
What's the difference?
I mean, that pick honestly should go on Tony's stats.
Well, that's the way.
Can we fix that?
Yeah. Sky Moore, 1 carry for 4 yards. Yeah. I mean, that fourth down play where they ran a trick.
What was it?
I don't know.
But that's the thing that Kansas City does time and time again, and they've gotten away with it in the past. They're just too cute for their own good sometimes.
One game. You look at Kansas City's schedule.
It's hard.
It is hard. You look at their schedule moving on. They're next up at Jacksonville, and Jacksonville would love to make them 0-2. Home for Chicago at the Jets.
At Minnesota.
Minnesota. Home for Denver on a Thursday night, short week. And then come the division games where we're assuming Kelce's healthy. If Kelce's healthy for the Chargers fans know he's coming for him, and they can cover him with 13 guys, and he'll still score 3 touchdowns.
What if things go really south and they're 3-6?
Then we'll be talking about this not being dynastic, and we aren't living in Mahomes' world. But again, their defense, in my mind, played some really good football against some really good offensive players, man. And they were in it. I don't know why Andy Reid didn't punt and went for it on 4th and 25. And by the way, that ball hit Sky Moore in the hands. I don't know if that was tipped or not.
Overthrown.
Well, I mean, he's running for his life because it's fourth down.
Yeah. And Sky Moore is 5'10". Like, how about Justin Ross over there who's 6'4", and that's a first down?
Well, again, I imagine the play had blown up by that point in time. Yeah. You know, we always look at plays as results, you know, not knowing what was going into it. I haven't seen the film, essentially, is what you hear all the time. What does Richard Sherman have to say on this subject matter? What does Julian Edelman have to say on the subject matter? Richard Sherman on Zoom coming up. Julian Edelman in studio in hour number three. And then Arthur Smith on Zoom, because we have to see if the stash is real and there. What's more likely as well?
What's more likely to be a bigger disappointment, that we see Arthur Smith and the stash is gone, or Dan Campbell telling us he really did not call about the lion?
Well, Dan Campbell saying he did not call about the lion and he was just joking was a gut punch. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, really disappointing. Yeah.
But
he's the type of guy that would really call about a lion.
I don't believe Arthur Smith is showing up clean shaven. I just don't.
But what I'm saying, like, what if? Where
that would
that
be
above
that would be worse.
The Campbell?
Oh, of course. Worse. Of course it is.
Is it?
Yes.
I really wanted that lion, man.
I did too. I really wanted
the
lion.
The lion's never possible. The lion was never. It wasn't happening. It was not happening.
Why?
Because it's a lion, Chris.
Seattle has a hawk. Like, there's a real buffalo. Dion is going to walk out on tomorrow.
That's college.
And there's going to be a 1,200 pound buffalo.
And Dion may be riding it.
Look,
that would not surprise me.
A grandma's boy, Dante, and Dr. Shakalu had a lion, and it patrolled the neighborhood. Like, a lion, cause it's possible.
Yes.
They should have one.
It's not possible.
I'm pro-lion.
But it is possible for a grown man to grow a mustache.
That's true.
And keep it. And
license place registration.
And honestly, place the banana in the NFC South tailpipe.
Honestly, can we do 12 minutes about the mustache with him? No football questions, only mustache.
Can you imagine? He's calling in 2 days before this big game.
Only mustache. Only mustache.
Are you
going to
lead with? I must ask you a question.
No. I must ask you a question.
A mustache.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.